the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you the glory, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a powerful presence of the Lord is here today. Amen, church. Oh, and before I go any further, I have to say thank you to Pastor and Sister Glover and to all of you for being such faithful partners all of these years. Give yourselves a hand clap, really. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful for my Alaskan family that I know is praying with me and fighting with me. You all mean the world to me. I hope you know it from the bottom of my heart. And before I go too much further, though, I do want to read a short passage of scripture. If you'll grab your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Acts in chapter 10. You might have heard this story before. It's talking about an Italian man who prayed, and his name was Cornelius. He had been coming before the Lord, and who knows how he got a revelation of who God is, because he grew up in a pagan society. He wasn't amongst the people of Israel. He didn't know anything about the one true God, but he got a revelation that there was just one God, and he could come before him in the only way that he knew, building up an altar before him. And at that time, when God said, all right, I have heard your prayers, and it has built as an altar before me. I need you to go find somebody. And we're going to go to chapter 10 and start with verse number 9, going down through verse 15. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for opening the windows of heaven. And a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, saying, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. You can set your Bibles aside, and we're going to pray. The Lord is already here. He's already moving. In this sort of a presence, in case you don't know, this is where lives are changed. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving and it's like there's an angel just trembling the water. If you came and you felt like you had something that was holding you back, you know that can be released now in Jesus' name. If you call out to the Lord, he will make you free. And you know what? He will empower you with his Spirit. This is where it happens. This is how it happens. But before that, God has a word that he wants to give. So if we'll just lift your hands and pray in the name of Jesus, we believe you, God. We feel your presence. We know your word is true. You have been faithful, my God, time and time again. So we come before you with expectation, knowing that you are our good Father, that you have something that you want to say to us, that you are ready to lead us and guide us. So right now, Jesus, just like Lydia, God, I pray that you would open those hearts, open our hearts and our minds to be prepared for your word, for your Spirit. Make us sensitive to the moving of your Spirit, sensitive to your voice, so that your body can be edified in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise for what you're going to do, because we believe it, God. We thank you now. We praise you now. You have been so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You may be seated. Like your pastor told you, and as so many of you know, because you've known me for so long, God has given me the privilege of being able to go to the German-speaking nations and share the gospel. And I never would have imagined it. I promise you I didn't plan it that way, but God had a bigger plan than I was even ready to conceive. So little by little, he took me every step of the way. And over the past couple of years, you guys have heard me talk about the step-by-step revival that God has been doing. How he started out with, he brought me to Austria and to a wonderful team and mentor with the Robinettes. And the Lord was casting a vision about, you know what, I want to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And yes, I know everybody says that Europe is a burned over field, but I said I was going to do it. So it is so. And it doesn't matter what everybody else says. My word is forever settled in heaven. And he said, I want to do it in the German speaking nations, but you're going to have to go with me on this. You're going to have to do what you've never done before and try things that you've never tried before, because if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. So God said, first of all, I want you to start working together. He said, no more missionaries hiding behind borders. I didn't just send you to Austria. I sent you to the world. So I want Austria and Germany to start working together and not just be the UPC of Austria and the UPC of Germany. I want you to be the German-speaking nations working together. And we started a Bible school with maybe 5 people across 2 countries that would show up to this Bible school. But you know what? It works. When you step out in faith, it works. And so these 5 people would come together, and then those grew. And I remember, even though they would drive for hours and hours and hours to show up to this Bible school, and they'd sit in class for hours after that, still we would end those classes with people on the carpet crying out to the Lord, saying, God, we believe the vision. We believe it, God. We know what we've seen for years and years and years. We know the way that it's always been. But God, we're seeing it from your perspective now. And we believe you're going to do what you said you're going to do. And that just kept growing. Because you know what? Whenever you get on board with God's plan, it's going to grow in ways that you never expected. And in fact, when you start saying, Lord, show me an open door, it's going to pop up. Just probably not where you were looking. Because here we're praying for the German-speaking nations. We're saying, God, open up a door into the German-speaking nations. And we get a phone call that sounds something like, hello, bonjour. Nous cherchons pour un pasteur. In case you're wondering, that is not German. It was a lady in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. And she had gotten the Holy Ghost as a teenager because she went to a boarding school where there was an apostolic young lady. And she got baptized in Jesus' name. Then for 30 years, she never lived in a place that had an apostolic church. But she just kept praying. And she just kept serving the Lord. And she told me years later, she said, you know, I lived in Geneva for 15 years without ever knowing about any other apostolics. But every morning, the Lord would wake me up. And I'd try to sleep in. I'd try to take the day off. But it wouldn't work. It wasn't until I would get up at 4:00 in the morning, every morning, and get on my knees and cry out for the city and say, God, send us a pastor. God, send this city a preacher. God, open up a door. For 15 years, she prayed. And finally, she got a hold of somebody. She knew found somebody who gave her Brother Robinette's number in Austria. And she said, you know, I know you're the German-speaking nations and we're the French-speaking part of Switzerland, but is there anybody you could send, even just for a short time? We said, okay, Lord, this wasn't the door we were expecting, but if you open the door, then we're going to walk through it. So people started going. And we started just a little work there in Geneva, but that work started to work in Lausanne, and that work started to work in Bern, and that work started to work in Interlaken, and that work started to work in Zurich. And you know that God has swept across that nation, that we now have preaching points and churches in 7 cities, even though we've only got 3 licensed ministers. God has done things that we never imagined. And just like your pastor said, just when you think God's done, then he goes one step further. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. God is opening doors in cities that for 1,000 years have never had an apostolic preacher. God is so good. This is end time revival. But God said, no, no, no. This is not even the beginning of what I'm doing. And so here we were. We were opening these churches. We were moving into new cities. But God started connecting us with Corneliuses in those cities. You know, they were pastors that already had churches in those cities. I remember it happening in Zurich. I've told this story to some of you before. You've heard it. But in Zurich, we had just started a church, and we had rented space in a little community center. And we're having church there every Sunday in the morning. But there was another church that had rented space in the afternoon. And we started talking to them and making friends and inviting them to, why don't we, you know, we're having a big revival service. Why don't we do it together? And people started getting the Holy Ghost in their church. And there was a woman from their church who had cancer on her optic nerve, and God healed her. And, you know, I just talked to her a couple months ago, and she said, you know what? The cancer's still gone. And she said, I thank God for the day that I met a Pentecostal church. And it just... Now that church, they connected us to 6 other pastors, and 3 of those got baptized in Jesus' name. And you know, our Bible school that we started with just 5 people, it exploded. It started out just in one main campus, and then we figured out, you know, that's not big enough. We're going to have to move into multiple campuses. And then we're moving into multiple campuses and apostolic churches, but then God says, what would happen if you turn this into an evangelistic tool? With all these new pastors that their people are getting the Holy Ghost, they need to know what the Word of God says. So we said, you know what, Pastor? If you bring the people, we'll bring you teachers. We'll bring you curriculums. We'll come for 2 weeks every year and do apostolic teaching in your church. You know what? It started in 2016. I think we had 5 campuses. 2017, we had 8 campuses. 2018, we had 17 campuses. And this year, we're going to have 40 campuses, most of which are not in apostolic churches. But it doesn't matter the name that they have on their door. People are getting baptized in Jesus' name. They're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They're talking about holiness like it's something that gives you power and anointing. God is doing marvelous, incredible, astounding things. And just when you thought that that was end time revival, God says, I'm going to take it up one notch further. You know, all those people, they come from every single different walk of life. We've got Russian speaking churches. We've got Spanish speaking churches. We have a Farsi speaking group. We have lots of French speaking churches. Several are African, have African dialects. And a lot of those African pastors, They're immigrants, you know, and they still have family and friends in countries all over the world. And you know what? Those Corneliuses started calling other Corneliuses and saying, you won't believe what we found here in Germany. And just in October last year, we were having our annual Elisha conference. It's a ministry conference that we have every year, and all the ministers, young and old and new, and whether you want to be a minister or you already currently are a minister, everybody comes. And we were having training during that time. We're having business meetings during that time. And I get a phone call from Brother Robinette. Says, Sister Amber, I need you to go to the train station and pick up some people. And I didn't really get the full story. I'm just like, okay. And I run to the train station, and I pick up an elderly gentleman and a slightly younger lady. And they're both African, and they speak Portuguese. And I'm thinking, oh, dearie. Because the Lord has brought me to places where I had to learn Russian, I had to learn German, I had to learn French, but I don't speak any Portuguese. So I was thinking, okay, this is going to be an interesting trip, but I am driving them back, and I figure out that the younger lady, she speaks just broken French, and so we're starting to communicate, and I understand that this is her bishop, and she's the secretary. And they said, we just flew in from Angola. I don't know if you know about that country. It's a country just a little bit south of Namibia where the Eikards are. And it's a Portuguese-speaking African country that has been in civil war for the past 50 years and is just now coming out of that. And there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of... And we don't have a UPCI missionary there because it's been impossible to get beyond the borders. And I bring them to the conference, and we had organized a... Bless God for people that are kingdom-minded, because we, at the very last minute, we're calling around and saying, do we know anyone who speaks Portuguese who can translate? And the missionary from Portugal, Brother Rodriguez, on his own dime, flew over to help translate for us. And you know who these people were? They were the bishop, the leader of a Trinitarian Christian organization in Angola of 400 churches that got a phone call from one of the Corneliuses in Germany that said, you've got to come to this conference. You need to show up here. And you know what? We invited them and we brought them in. We said, you know, Bishop, you don't have to sit here through all of the classes. He said, nope. I'm going to be right here the whole time. And for 3 days, he sat in the conferences. He sat in the meetings. He met with every single person that was in charge of anything and said, I want to talk to you. Find out. Tell me, what are you doing exactly? What is this? And picks everybody's brain. And finally, at the end, he said, he came to Brother Robinette and he said, Bishop, I need you to bring a team of 50 people, and I'm going to put together a crusade of thousands in Angola. And we're going to pray, and God is going to fill our people with the Holy Ghost. Then I need you to bring those teachers that you've been bringing into Germany and Austria and Switzerland, and I need you to bring them to Angola. I've got 400 churches that need this message. Can we give God the praise for that right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I came to you with reports, but I also came to Sterling here with a message from the Lord. And you know, I was praying about it this week and feeling my way through. And I told Becca, I said, a lot of times it's not until I walk through the front door that the Lord decides to really tell me what he wants to do. And I had been feeling in my spirit, feeling these things about prayer and going deeper and how what has gotten us this far. I thank God for the walk that he has given me, but what has gotten me this far is not going to get me to where he needs to go. So deeper and I'm feeling all of this, but it's not quite coming together in my mind. I'm not seeing the connections, trying to figure out where it's going. And I came in today and we started to worship. And I feel the Lord speak to me and say, I want you to tell the church in Sterling that I have heard their prayers. And I know what you have been praying for. And I am here to tell you that it is happening right now. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. It's happening here. It's happening in your church. You're already connected to these people. It's just not going to come from the places you thought it was going to be. It's going to be from the people that you never expected, the ones that you thought, this is impossible. Because you know why God sent that vision to Peter? It's because he was saying, no, God. He had just had an argument with Paul about, this is not for the Gentiles. No. This is something that he gave to the children of Israel. And then he said, you know what, Peter? I know you're a man of God. I know you've got the right things, but you're wrong on this one. I'm sorry. You're a little off base. But here's the good thing. When you are a man or a woman of God, it means that the Lord can speak to you and he can change your mind. When you come before the Lord and he starts to speak, that Holy Ghost can direct you and say, you know what? I'm going to go by my word. You have nothing to worry about. We're not going outside of this word. We're not going somewhere that I'm not approving of, but it's going to not look the way you're expecting. It's not going to be dressed up in the same outfits. And when he gave that vision to Peter, Peter was like, I have no idea what's going on here. God, it says that he was going over it in his spirit saying, God, I just don't get it. This is the weirdest thing you've said to me before. But then he heard a knock on the door. And they said, I need you to come. God gave us the address. And we need you to come talk to this Italian man. And they came and he started talking. He said, you know what? There is this Jesus. And he died and he rose again. And he is God forevermore. And it said, while he was yet speaking, he hadn't even finished preaching. But they said, this is what we were looking for. This is what we were waiting for. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Jesus. And at this point, Peter sold, but there was other Jews that were with him that were like, I don't know about this. What's going on? This is, Pastor, this is a little confusing. I've never seen anything like this before. And he said, you know what? What God has done, I can't refuse it. Can we not give these people water that have received the Holy Ghost as we did? I promise you something, Sterling. I feel it in my bones. The moment I walked through the door, I could feel the weight of the prayers that you have prayed over this city. I know you've been here a long time. I know you've been fighting. And I know that you've been thinking, God, when are we going to pack out these pews? But here's the thing. These pews aren't going to do it. These pews aren't going to handle it. There's going to be people in their living rooms receiving the Holy Ghost. There's going to be people in churches that are already built that are going to be receiving the Holy Ghost. That's why he puts you here, not to fill up this building, but to convert these cities, to reach through the peninsula, to break down barriers throughout Alaska. Your prayers are weighing down over this entire district. And what has built up for so long and has been held with a canopy up, now that is beginning to break open. It's beginning to pour out. And God said, you're not going to recognize it unless you're being led by the Holy Ghost. It's not going to look the way you imagined. I'm going to tell you one more story and then we're going to let the Holy Ghost move. I told you about a Farsi speaking group, right? Let me tell you, that was not one that we saw coming. Because, you know, it messed with my life. There was, in 2015, there was this huge wave of mass immigration. 50% of Syria flooded and left the country and flooded into Europe. 50% of the population in Syria left. And they all came flooding into the German-speaking nations. And, you know, there was on the day when it, like, really broke out into bad things happening and 2,500 people rushed the border and just trampled across border agents. That was the day that I was crossing the border at a different end. And so the very next day, and I go to try to come across the border. And, you know, in 8 years... of all of this that God has been doing, God has never given me a permanent residence visa. You talk about been praying for years. That's why I'm here right now, because I've still got a lawyer and we're still fighting this battle. But you know what? That's a whole nother story. I'll come back to that. But here, I tried to cross the border and they arrested me. They stopped me and said, you don't have a good enough reason to be here. We're turning you around, sending you back to America. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I would love to be Paul and Silas singing in the jailhouse now, but I'm not. Why is this? And I remember coming back to America and sitting in my house and going, Lord, why is this happening to me? We've got so much good stuff happening. Why would you? And of all the people, I can't tell you how many missionaries that in Europe have this problem. You'd be amazed. And they all cross the border just fine. I'm like, why, God? Why me? And I really had a bad attitude, I have to say, about all these people rushing in. And I'm saying, Lord, just blast them, Lord. Blast them, Lord. But you know what? The Lord rebuked me a little bit. He said, you know, Amber, you've been praying for revival like in the third world countries to come to Europe. Well, I'm working on it. Stop complaining. And so here we had these hundreds and thousands of Muslim immigrants flooding into these cities. But you know what? God gave us a Cornelius. one young man got the Holy Ghost and got a revelation, and he went and started preaching in the refugee camps, and those people started getting the Holy Ghost. And we had over 200 people in the refugee camps receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name. And you know, we were amazed and thanking God. Oh, we have a Farsi-speaking group in Vienna, Austria. But you know, God took it even further. Because, yeah, he granted some asylum. Some of them were able to stay. But actually, the majority of them were deported back to their country. But now they have the Holy Ghost. Now they know who Jesus is. And we have over, I think it's like 150 missionaries going into Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, places that, oh, and this is going out on Facebook. Oh, help me, Jesus. In Jesus' name, bind the devil's ears from hearing that. But you, let me tell you something. There are people that would have said, you're there to reach German speakers. You're there to reach Austrians and Swiss and Germans. But God said, I don't care about your borders. I am going to do something and you're not going to recognize it. But it's going to change the world. It's going to change the world into places like Angola and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Syria, places where you and I can't go. And people are walking across those borders with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can all stand. We're going to go before the Lord, but Sterling, I believe this in my bones. Let me tell you, I don't preach this everywhere that I go. But the Lord wants you to know that your prayers have been heard. And your prayers are affecting people and places and situations that you never even considered. So what we are praying for now is, Lord, open our eyes. God, help us to see what you see. Because if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Remember what Jesus said? It said that it was months till the harvest. He was looking out, probably, if it was Alaska, he was looking out at a snow-covered field. And he said, wow, look, the fields are white with harvest. Here's the thing. He wasn't just speaking in faith. He was seeing something in the spiritual realm. And when we get closer to Jesus, we don't just say things because we want them to happen. We start seeing things from Jesus' perspective. We see things not just from a physical level, but from the spiritual level as well. And we see what's really going on. And when that happens, when your eyes get opened, then you start saying, wait a second. I do see it. I didn't even know that was there last time I looked. Last time it was just an empty field. But now I see it. I see an open door. I see fields that are white with harvest. And now that gives me the boldness that I need to start walking out in faith. Not because I'm just saying it to say it. Because I'm saying it because the Lord said it. And if he said it, shall it not be done? If he said it, shall it not be accomplished? Sterling, it's happening here today. Can we lift our hands in the name of Jesus? Jesus, we are your people. We have heard your voice and you have heard our cry. Lord, we have cried out for this city. We have cried out for the broken lives. We have cried out for the family members that are lost. We've cried out for the children that are in broken homes. God, we've cried out for those that are in bondage, in drugs and alcohol. God, you have heard the cry. We believe it, Jesus. We declare it unto these nations. Lord God, just open my eyes to walk in boldness, Jesus. One last word, and then these altars are open. God showed this to Peter because Peter had already figured out something. He knew how hard it was going to be to break into an entirely new field, to walk into areas that they had never been to before. They knew there was going to be problems, there was going to be situations, things that they had to figure out as they went along. But Peter already had this foundation of in chapter 4, how they had been brought before the magistrates and they had faced some trials and they had faced some persecution. They'd been put in jail. And you know what? They figured out, God, I don't need to pray for protection anymore. You're going to protect me. I don't need to pray for favor. You're going to give me favor. I don't need to pray for all these other things. You know what he said? He said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word and that miracles, signs, and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. This is what's going to happen, Sterling. God is going to go before you. He's going to be doing miracles with you on the job. People are going to feel the anointing when you open up your mouth. And all you need is the boldness to speak the word. Will you step forward right now and lift up your hands and pray, God, give me that vision so that way I can step forward with boldness, knowing that you have appointed it. I believe it, Jesus. I declare it. In the name of Jesus, we give you the praise for what you're going to do, my God. Lord God, I know what you have begun here in Sterling is going to break forth. It's going to pour out over these islands. It's going to pour out over the peninsula. It's going to reach through those wastelands up into the Nome and up into Kodiak. It's going to be past Kiana, Jesus. God, you're going to move it through Canada. You're going to let it branch out into Russia. God, the revival that you're bringing for the north, it's not just going to be here in Alaska. It's going to be in Siberia. It's going to be in Finland. God, we believe it. We declare it. Give us the word to speak. Let it be your word that we pray. Let it be your vision that we claim. God, open up our eyes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Yeah, da 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 da, corriata, sara.